Good morning. This is Pastor Ricky Persons of Bethel Baptist Church. We have had a guest, Brother Joe Shelton, a longtime friend of mine, preached the word for us in revival. And so I'm going to introduce his message to you and allow you to hear that. I hope you're blessed by it as we have been.
I was going to put it on, but when you got hair, see, it's all right with Ricky. He ain't got hair, but when you got hair, you put it on and it, you know, like a Beyonce mic or something is sticking out here and you put it on and you don't get it on. My wife wasn't sitting out, let her help me put it on. If you don't, then your hair would be sticking up like this or something and everybody can't listen to you for looking how stupid you look. So I just said I'll wait till tonight and get it on there right, I hope. First time I met Ricky all those years ago, and I tell the story, it gets younger every year. I used to, he was junior high and everything, but he was about 18. It's not that I thought he was younger than that. Now, I was doing a youth retreat, and I did a real youth minister type of thing, which I generally never did do, but somehow I just did it that day, and I went around the room. We had about 20 people there, I guess, and I said, I want you to tell me what you think you'll be doing 10 years from now. That's a real typical thing that youth directors do, and evangelists and whatevers, And I usually didn't do it, but I don't know. I just did it, and I'm glad I did because I got to. And everybody else is saying I'm gonna be a fireman. You know, I'm gonna be this, and I think I'll be doing this, or I don't know what I'm gonna be doing. I got to Ricky, and he just looked at me and went, "I'm a preacher. I'm gonna be pastoring somewhere," and that amazed me. I'd never had that answer before, and he was sure. He knew God had called him, and I went home and told my wife. See, you don't know this. I went home and told my wife, "I found me one today," and you know what? I did. You guys are blessed to have him as your pastor. He's a good one. I'm going to explain me a little bit and hurry along. I'm not a crusader. I really love to see the lost get found. And that's my burden. That's always a burden. But my main burden is to see the found get lost in Jesus, where you just lose your life in him. And you grow, if you're That's a revival to me. If I get here, if I come here and something I say, of all people, me, encourages you or makes you know him better or makes you want to know him better, I say, Lord, just more of you and less of me. Let me decrease that you'll increase. If I leave, if I do that and somebody says that, it's a revival as far as I'm concerned. That's my main thing is to see people just lose themselves in the Lord. And that's what we want this morning. Want to make sure you're vibed, though. You can't be revived unless you're vibed. So if you're not vibed, there'll be an invitation, I'm sure. I'll turn it over to the pastor, and he'll probably give an invitation. So come get vibed if you're not vibed. But if you're vibed already, let's have a revive. And that's what this is going to be this week, I pray and hope it is. In this day and time, I heard a preacher say one time, I knew what he meant, but he got up and he said, folks, if there was ever a day and time in which we live, this is it. And everybody went, amen. Yes, sir, brother. But this is a strange time we live in. Do you get a little discouraged, guys? Do you get a little like, you know, I tell God all the time, I say, God, if you're waiting for it to get bad enough, I think you can come on. You know, you're taking your time getting here. And I said, I just, you know, bring it on, which is scriptural in Revelation. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, come on. We're ready, I think. And I think anybody could see that it's an exciting time because I'm seeing the Bible just fulfilled right before my eyes. People have longed to see this. And I believe this is, you know, right here. Now, it might be another 2,000 years, but I doubt it. I'm not a prophet of doom, but I'm a prophet of I'm not a prophet at all. I just believe it's getting close. So sometimes we get discouraged. Man, I do. Sometimes we get doubtful. You ever get doubtful? Wonder why ain't... Well, Let me tell you this, kind of off the subject. I'll be about 30 minutes. We'll be out, okay? And I really wasn't going to bring this part, but I think I need to say it to lead me somewhere else, this message. Jesus took Peter and James and John and said, y'all come on up with me. The chosen among the chosen. He didn't let everybody go. I wonder if the rest of them was going, why didn't we get to go? You know, I don't know. He just took Peter, James, and John. I'd have probably said, now I won't come, but he took them up high up in a mountain. And when he got up there, you know the story. He was transfigured. We call it transfiguration. He was transfigured before them and turned into white light God who he really was. I mean, just, you know, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all of a sudden he was God again, as well as the Son of God. I always say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son and self. I mean, he that's who he is. He's not part divine. He's all divine. He's not. And he was transfigured before him, and all of a sudden Elijah and Moses shows up. Now, I don't know how the disciples knew it or the writer knew it, but they knew who it was. I don't think they had a picture, but it was easy for them, you know, that, yeah, that's Elijah. They knew somehow. It was Elijah and Moses, and Jesus is standing there, and they're just talking to him. And the disciples, like, they're just amazed. I mean, they're like, wow, we're getting to see this, and Jesus has changed, and there's Elijah and Moses. And Peter, see, Peter, I like Peter because he's a lot like all of us. Dumb at times. Peter wanted to say something. He's always got to say something or cut an ear off or something. He wants to get in there. They're talking. He wants to over to the side. He wants, you remember when you was a kid and the grown-ups would be talking? They'd be in their living room talking or something, and they're talking about stuff, and somehow you feel real honored because they ain't sent you to bed yet. And you're getting to hear, being there with the grown-ups and hear them talking and talk about stuff, you know. And you want to say something all of a sudden like Peter. And you just throw something in like, me and Billy seen that big old white dog down the road and thought it was a ghost. And you know what the grown-ups do? Because it's just stupid. It's awful. Somehow in your little mind you thought it would go with what they're saying. But the grown-ups, they just stop for a second and look at you like this. And then they go on talking. They don't even acknowledge that you. And then go on talking. Well, that's what they did. Peter, he just said, it's good to be here. Let's build three churches right up here. See how dumb that is. Let's build three temples right here. One for Elijah and one for Moses and one for you, for Jesus. And I'm sure that Elijah, and I'm sure they all turned and looked at him like, yeah. And Jesus probably said, that's Peter. He'll be a rock some right day, but right now he's cold, okay? it's a diamond coming, but hey. And then after he says that, though, it's all God. Because this voice comes out. Some say it thundered. And it says, this is my beloved son, hear him. And that's the way we read that in the Bible. This is my beloved son, hear him. That ain't what he said. That is what he said, but that ain't how he said it. He said, this is my beloved son. Hear him. Here's the prophets, and here's the law. And all of a sudden, there's something new. Grace is there. Grace is going to be the way now. The prophets, they're wonderful to study. And Elijah's the king of them. And there's the law. And right in the middle of them, he says, this is my beloved son. Hear him. Never mind temples for them. They've had their time. It's time for him. And we're his temple. Ain't that something? I never thought about that before. I threw that in. It really didn't go with the message. I just felt like I was supposed to bring it. And it kind of does, too, because grace was there. And this is getting to where it concerns us. Grace is hard to understand. If I preach grace, and if I preach it right, and it doesn't bother you, and you go, that's just too good to be true, then I didn't preach it right. Not a grace message this morning, though. It's one to encourage. It brings me to John the Baptist. Above women, there's none as great as John the Baptist, Jesus said. He sees Jesus, and he says, he's baptizing people. He's saying to the scribes, he was real sweet. He's saying to the scribes and Pharisees, what y'all doing down here? I put my scriptures in Mississippi so you can understand them, even in Indiana. What y'all doing down here? Who's warned you to escape from the wrath of God to come? How are you going to escape it? And then he sees Jesus come up and he says, whoa, behold the Lamb of God that's going to take away the sin of the world. And then he baptized. He said, man, you should be baptizing me. Jesus said, no, suffer to be so now. We've got to fulfill all righteousness. And he baptized. He said, man, I ain't even worthy to lace your shoes. He says, you do it. So he baptized him. When he came up, you know what John saw? He saw the Holy Spirit descending as a dove descends or like a dove. There's different things. People think, I saw a movie where a dove lit on Jesus' head. You know, I don't know if that's the way it was or not. I know when a dove descends, he comes straight down like a dove does. So either he saw the Holy Spirit descend that way, or he was trying to describe how it was, and it was dovey, and it was, and so we don't know what, but he saw the Holy Spirit descend as a dove. I'm going to make a point here. Then he heard a voice. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. He saw that. Later on, he tells his disciples, because everybody's going over to Jesus, a lot of them, and he said, hey, that's what's supposed to happen. I got to decrease. Behold, the new way. Prepare the way of the Lord. It's here. Grace is here. This is the Messiah's here. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. There's a new way coming. I got to decrease so he can increase. Boy, that's my prayer in my life and in your life, that we just disappear, that we might decrease so that he might be manifest in our mortal body, that we might just totally disappear so it'll just be him. All that scripture, by the way. Many prayers, the prayers today a banker could answer, but not many people praying, Lord, just change me into your image. Just let this, you gave your body for me. I want to give my body for you. Live your life through me. That's the kind of prayers he's looking for. He seeks them that will worship him in spirit and truth. God is spirit. John saw all that, John the Baptist. He was a teetotaler. John wouldn't drink. He wouldn't have a, he didn't drink. No. You offer him a beer, he would not take it. He left the priesthood. Supposed to be a priest, you know, after his daddy, but he left the priesthood and he's just out in the desert preaching, living on what, honey and locusts? The honey's all right, but none for me on that locust. And people, he's like a wild man. People's going out to see him, listening to him. He's baptizing. The way, new way's coming. New way got there. But John, he goes up and gets in King Herod's face. The law says you ain't supposed to have your brother's wife. And the brother's wife didn't like that. And she puts him in prison. And later on, he's beheaded. But he's down in the prison. And guess what? The great, none greater among women, got discouraged. The one who had saw the Lamb of God take away the sin of the world. The one who had heard the voice, this is my beloved son. The new way was there. And all of a sudden, he's hearing about Jesus. Jesus is going to their parties. He's hanging out with sinners and hanging out with people who has their brother's wife. And John sends it a message and asked after he had seen. But it just didn't, grace was not like he thought it was going to be. He sends a message and he's real discouraged. He's down in prison. You ever get in a pit and you get discouraged? And he sends a message to Jesus and says, are you the one, or should we look for another? You heard the voice. You saw the dove. It wasn't what I thought it'd be. And I'm down here in prison, and you're going to the parties and the weddings and turning water into wine that I would not drink. You ever get discouraged and wonder about it all? Well, you're in good company. Don't want you to feel too bad, because I do too sometimes. Sometimes you ever get mad at God? You got to be very and it's not a real good thing to get mad at God, because if he gets mad back, you've had it. You're snuffed. That's it. But you have, I do. I have gotten that. I've gotten so upset at him. It's called an intimate relationship. You know, he said in one place, he said, we could come and let us reason together. That's not just let me listen to you. That's present your case. I go present my case for him, and it's not that I'm really mad. Yeah, I guess I am sometimes. I'm passionate about what I'm saying, and I say, I don't think that's, what are you doing? That's not what you, I know a guy, about a guy, never met him really, but I know about him, and I know this is true. He was a preacher. He got so mad at God, he said, this is what he said. Can you believe this? He said, God, you lied to me. You're a liar. You lied to me. You said this was going to be easy. You said, you know, everything was going to be all right. Everything's not all right. You deceived me. That's what he said. I think that means lied to me. And I tell you what I'll do. I will not mention your name again. I won't preach anymore. You know where I'm at, don't you? It wasn't Ricky. Although, Rich going to preach. Ricky going to preach. I know from the time he's 18. But this guy said, no, I'm not going to preach. I ain't going to mention your name ever again. So if you get mad at God sometime, you're in good company. Because that's Jeremiah. And you'll find that in Jeremiah, the 20th chapter, if you want to read all about it. He said, I'll not preach anymore. But then the next line says, I love it because he's just like us. He's up and down, up and down. The next line says, but his word was a fire shut up in my bones and I just couldn't help it. Been there? And then he jumps right back to the other way. He says, you know what? Cursed be the day I was born. And cursed be the man that came to my mother and said, it's a boy. Poor guy somewhere, he's all cursed and he don't know why. He just came in and said, you got a little boy. He says, cursed be the man the day I was born. And then the next line said, but praise the Lord. You go read it, it just said, but praise the Lord. He come through and then he jumps back again, all upset. See, you ain't no different. We're the same. You ever get upset at God? He's heard it a million times from a million different honest Christians that just be honest with him, saying, God, I'm disappointed and I don't understand and I'm mad. You ever despair? You ever just despair? Paul said, oh, one place, seeing you'd good company. Because Paul said, the apostle Paul said, he said, we got trouble on every side. I'm perplexed, but we don't despair. I don't despair. But you know what he said later on? He said, I was over there. Y'all have heard about my trouble, and I despaired even of life. We all been there. You ever not like the plan? Just said, I know, God, you're in control. In the Word, in the beginning, you're God, and the Word was with God, and by him, you all things was made. You made the plan. But I don't like the plan. Let me tell you, when my daughter Shay was killed in the car wreck, I'd prayed for traveling mercies. We always do. I believe there would be. And when she was gone, I didn't like the plan. You sung it as well with my soul a while ago. I never heard that rendition of it. I really loved that. And it had the old but the new mixed together. I loved that. I went in the morning she was killed, and I said, I'm going to sing that song. I got about halfway through it and couldn't sing it anymore. I didn't like the plan. You ever not like his plan for your life? When your business closed down, you'd prayed and prayed and prayed. Your marriage broke up and you'd prayed and prayed and prayed. Sickness, a lost one in your family, and you've prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for him, and they just get farther away. We all been there, guys. I got a few I'm praying for in my family like that. I just keep praying. One's sick, one's away from the Lord. You just keep praying. I wrote a line in a song one time. It said, what do you say? What do you pray when you just can't pray anymore? And still you come up fruitless. What do you say when you just can't say anymore? Sometimes it seems so useless. You just keep praying. I'll tell you why in a minute. You ever not like the plan? Well, you're in good company. Because neither did the Son of God, Jesus, when he said, Father, if it can be your will, I know I made this plan because all things were made by me, but I'm the Son, and it's a different thing. I made it, but in it, I don't understand it either. All I know is I'm sweating blood here. Is there a plan B? Because plan A is hard. And he understood the plan. He made the plan before the foundation of the world when the Lamb was to be slain or slain. He made the plan and wanted to die, but said, can there be a plan B? But then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but the original plan be done that I made when I was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he said, I don't like the plan. So if you don't like the plan sometimes, and you feel real bad about you, say, see, when we get like that, we get upset, or we get discouraged, or we want to just quit, or we don't like the plan, and we're upset about it, we feel bad about ourselves because we think we ought to just be shouting the victory all the time. We ought to just be real all the time. God loves real. And if you go to him and you be real and you empty your heart to him, not try to press it down and hide it from him, but just tell him your every thought, every hurt, every pain, every thing that is in you, you give to him. Guess what? The next thing is it won't be anymore because you gave it to him. You didn't try to hide it. Y'all awful quiet this morning. I wish somebody, do you hate me? See, you ought to see y'all. You ought to see y'all, man. When you're up here, I've been doing this since I was 30, and I ain't quite 80 yet, but, and I've been preaching ever since. But first year or two, they all just tied me up and put something over my mouth, what the stuff I was preaching, but I was preaching. But I still get nervous, and I still get afraid. Before I come up here, I'm shaking. And some of that's like a guy that's finna run a track race. It's energy. But some of it's just fear. Because y'all look mean. So everybody, I know you're not and everything, but everybody's listening to you and they're looking like you. And then in this corner of your mind, you're going, these people hate me. That's the reason people beg, preachers beg for amens. You know, can I get an amen? I refused to say it, but I wanted to say it a while ago. If you don't like the plan, it's okay sometimes to tell him you don't like the plan. Jesus didn't like the plan. I'm sweating blood. Ain't that good? We got a high priest who's touched with the feelings of our weaknesses, yet without sin. See, the problem is we got sin. He's yet without sin. So he took our sin and gave us his yet without sin. He became sin for us that we might be the righteous of God in Christ. And it's just good stuff, man. But what is my scripture? I ain't even read the Bible yet. Well, it's in Psalms. And here's what I want you to know. Wait a minute, I ain't ready yet. I got just a few more minutes. Is that okay, guys? No wonder I was looking at the wrong notes. The right notes, man. Here's the right notes, but I... I wrote this song, and I was going to sing it in the concert. It's called, He's Still God. But I wrote the thing when I was young, and boy, I was lead screamer back then, and I could hit the notes, but I don't think I can hit the notes as well, so I'm just going to read the word to you this morning. I know sometimes you wonder, what's the use of it all when life's roaring thunder got you backed against the wall? And sometimes the darkness has obscured the brighter day, and there is no answer each and every time you pray. Well, here's the rest of that. Know this, He's still God. And that's my scripture this morning. Psalms 46, verse 10. We've just led up to the text instead of starting with it. And you know it. You've heard it many times. And I didn't know. I was getting the message up, and I said the scripture so many times, and I've read it many times, but I didn't know where it was offhand. I was going to look at my concordance, and I said, no, I'll just use my phone and Google. I've learned. My granddaughter taught me how to Google. And so I wrote down Bible verse, be still, know I'm God. And it popped right up, Psalm 46:10. But here's what Google said. It had to kind of, I don't know why it said it, but it said, some well-meaning believers, some well-meaning Christians think this, take it out of context and thinks that this means, they're well-meaning Christians and they think this means just take it easy, God's got this. That's what it said. Just take it easy, relax. God's got this. Guess what? I'm a well-meaning Christian. That's exactly what I think it means. I thought, what are they doing? Yeah. So I said, well, I better read it again. And I, you know what? Google's crazy. He says right here, see what y'all think this means with the shape the world is in now, too. Put it with it, day and time in which we live. You ready? Be still. This is real hard. Be still and know that I am God. Because I'm going to be exalted among the nations. And I'll be exalted in all the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. And the God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Think on these things. I believe that means take it easy. I got this. I'm a well-meaning Christian. So guys, let me tell you this. I know sometimes you wonder, is he still upon his throne? Remember, it's the last days and soon we'll all be gone. It's just that final hour when all the children's faith will be tried with fire to see what will remain. But he's still the Lord of lords. He's still the King of kings. He's still the master over everything. He's still the King of kings. He's still the Lord of lords. His word's still sharper than a two-edged sword. He still gives songs in the middle of the night. He still takes wrongs and turns them into right. He's a still small voice. He's still the light. He's still God. Amen. And that's today's message. If you don't like the plan sometime or you get upset at him, just hang in there and tell him, just empty your heart to him, and you'll come away going, he's still God. And by the way, when you do that, you're in good company.
And all God's people say, amen.